Anna? I said, sure you can. But I thought that was so sweet. Well, we went to a meeting yesterday. It was my sister and two other sisters from this church, Jill, Thelma, Adelia. And very sweet. We had the best time. And there were so many interesting little things that I learned. And one of the things was about this phone here. So if you have your phone, silence it. But here's the interesting thing, and I showed Angela how to do it on the way here. If you'll go into settings, and then you'll see screen time, you'll see how much time you spend on your phone. And they said the average time was 6 hours for adults. So I went to mine and I showed it to Jill because I think yesterday it was 1 hour and 19 minutes. Today,
1 hour and 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
No, you cut down.
I cut down. What was yours, sweetie?
4 hours and something.
What's yours, sweetie?
I can't even figure out how to get it up.
Go to settings.
Okay.
Screen time. Does it tell you?
Where
no.
Where am I supposed to see it?
Look. Screen time.
Hers is so much it doesn't register.
But I thought it was interesting. The average time is 6 hours. And the point they were making is people were spending more time on the phone than they were talking to God. And it was just interesting. I didn't know you could do that. Spend that much time on the phone. But evidently you can. Some people like to shop on the phone. I like to read articles, Christian articles. I have 138 articles on my phone right now. Just all kinds of Christian information. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. I'd throw it out there. If you're one of them 6 hours people, you may want to consider bringing that down and talking to the Lord a little bit. How you got what?
16 minutes.
You beat me, girl. That's good. But anyway, when I was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was at a place and sitting down minding my own business. There was a few people that were off in the distance and they were very involved in a loud discussion. And I felt this sudden grief come over me. And I thought, Lord, what is that? I just feel terrible now. And I felt like I had a sucker punch. You guys know what a sucker punch is? When you don't expect it, someone comes and socks you. Have you ever been socked where the air is knocked out? That's how I felt. And I thought, oh, that is just an awful feeling, Lord. What was that about? And he goes, that's grieving the Holy Spirit. That's what that is. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's just a terrible feeling. And then the other day, something happened to Angelo, and he had the same feeling. He goes, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just feel terrible. I feel like something's been sucked out of me. I said, I know what that is. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. So if we can go to Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. I'm going to read it from this thing here because it's bigger and it helps me. Really helps me. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. How many times have you been in a place and you just hear someone talking and you're just going, I don't know if I can sit here anymore and listen to that. That's what's happening. The Holy Spirit is aggrieved. Now, to take care of some definitions, there's all kinds of people in this world. And they have certain characteristics. An agnostic person is a person who has the belief that the existence of God or any other supernatural or divine is either unknowable in principle or unknown in fact. They don't know if there's a God. They can't say there is a God, and they can't say there's not a God. They're just indifferent. Okay? That's an agnostic. An atheist, on the other hand, in the broadest sense, believes that there is no God at all. He doesn't exist in any shape, way, or form. That's an atheist. The atheist does not believe in any God. An agnostic doesn't know if there is a God. Natural man. There was a song many years ago. I think it's called Natural Born Woman. I don't even know the words, but I just know the title. Now let me tell you something. You single people, you don't want no natural born woman. And you single men don't want a natural-born woman, and you single women do not want a natural-born man. Because a natural-born man is a man or woman who has not received Christ as their Savior. And that's found in, I got to get these scriptures out because I don't want to jump the gun on these guys up here. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So that's what a natural man is, or a natural woman. They can't, you can talk to them about spiritual things, but they can't understand it. They don't know what you're talking about. You talk to them about the Holy Spirit or salvation, they're just looking at you and they're like a cow looking at a new gate. They don't know what you're talking about. The spiritual man, look at 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. The spiritual man understands when you start talking about spiritual things. Kelly Mae's wearing glasses, everybody. She's 40 now. So that's a spiritual man. They understand. Now here's where people get stuck. In the church. I mean, they get stuck. Angelo was stuck the other day by a pond, and he was stuck. He had to get, was it a wrecker, hon? A wrecker to get him out of there. Christians today get stuck. A carnal Christian. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. We're still in Corinthians. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He wants all of us to mature.
Amen.
You cannot grow in Christ if you're doing the same thing every day. And if you're not in the Word, if you're not in prayer, if you're not doing the things that Christians do, you can't grow. You can talk to someone who's very cardinal, and maybe you'll see them in church once or twice a month, sometimes more, sometimes on Sunday. But other than that, they're not in the Word. They're not in prayer. They don't have any other relationship for the Lord except for the church. Okay? And you would ask them something, and they'll say, well, I go to church. I'll be there Sunday. If nothing happens, if the weather's good, it don't snow, I'll be there Sunday. Well, did you spend any time this week in prayer? Any time in the Word? Did you spend any time with the Lord at all? How can you say you're a Christian if you don't develop that relationship? So, cardinal Christian, are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3, yeah? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal. See, we think about carnal means flesh. But here we are talking about church folks. We can't talk to you as spiritual people, but as babes. You're still in that baby phase where you want that bottle. Now, Evan James had the bottle till he was about 3 years old. He loved his bottle. A carnal Christian will be on the bottle 50, 60 years till they go to heaven to be with Jesus. God wants us to grow. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, division among you, are you not cardinal, behaving like mere men? People can jump from being spiritual to being cardinal in a breath. Just in a breath. How sad that is. So one of the things I did, Casey, Kelly, I'm so sorry, hon. I texted you the other day, and it was midnight. I texted you that acronym, remember? It's on your phone, hon. You probably ignored it because it was midnight. I did it to Casey at a decent hour. Do you have that on your phone, hon? I just come up with these things and I forget what time of the night it is or day. And this actually was on Pinterest. I happened to look at that and I thought, ooh, I think that will preach. And you got it, Case? Can you read it real loud? She ain't got it. Kelly Mae, you got it? That's okay, I got it on this board. Coco, I want you to read this real loud.
Before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind?
Go get you a mic, hon. I told him I was going to have him help me preach today. Why are you doing that, Millie? I'm training him. Read it loud and clear.
Before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind?
Yes. I looked at that and I thought, ooh, I think there's scriptures for that. In fact, I know there's scriptures for that. So, the next thing I'm going to do, I'm basically more a teacher than a preacher. And there's this thing about teachers. What do we expect of people when we teach, Casey Renee? For them to do what? To to learn this, right? And when they don't, we're going, I just taught you that. What happened with you? My gosh. Angelo, help Colton with this.
You want to go to that place in the Word?
Yes. Go to that place in the Word. And here's what I want you to do, Melissa, Miss Preacher. You got an eye. Are you trying to ignore me? Yeah. Who else wants this last one? It's a K. All right. You get that mic, Colton? Turn it on. I want you to read think. I want you to read what T stands for.
Therefore, putting away the lying spirit, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. By ye angry in sin, not let the sun go down upon your wrath.
Don't let the sin go down on your wrath. It says, speak truth. Speak truth. How many times has someone spoke something out before they checked it out? You can't do that. I've done it myself. And then I had to apologize. So speak truth. These are called acronyms, by the way. When you assign meaning to a letter. Think, T. Is it true? And he read Ephesians 4:25, 26, and 27. Put away lying. Speak truth. Be angry and don't sin. It's not telling you at times you won't get angry. You do. But don't sin when you're angry. Have you ever got someone get angry at you and they spew all these curse words? I mean, you need a machete to get out of there. Don't stay mad. Make it right. Don't give place for the devil. So that's T. Is it true? If it's true, you won't grieve the Holy Spirit. Who has H? Say it real loud, hon.
Hebrews 10 and 24. We should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things.
Yes. And H stands for helpful. Is that thing that you're going to say and spew out at someone, is it going to help them in any shape, form? Is it going to be helpful? Or is it going to hurt them? H doesn't stand for hurt. It's help. Is it helpful? And that was the verse Hebrews 10:24. Who is I?
Me. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and it says, let me find it here. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And then 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort for we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ.
Yes. Is what you're going to say to someone, is it going to encourage them, inspire them, comfort them, or are you tearing them down and making them feel worse? Are you saying words that just add to the burden that they're carrying? I was telling Angela, we just had an accident over there in Scranton by the bridge there, and a family lost two children. One was grown 20 years old, I guess. They didn't lose just their two children. They lost all their grandchildren that would have come from them, two girls, son-in-laws, family gatherings. We should comfort those that need comfort, encouraging them, inspire them. Encouragement means to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. Inspire them. That's I. Who has N? Sherry.
2 Peter 1 and 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for the godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. In Ephesians 4 and 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
N stands for necessary. Is what you're going to say necessary to that person? Is it going to be helpful? Is it going to build them up? It says that God gave us everything that pertains to holiness. It says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him. Do you have the word enough in you to minister to someone the truth and what's necessary instead of adding to their burden? So, N, necessary. Who has K? Jill.
Colossians 3:12. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Kindness. Kindness is a God trait. It is actually how we obtain salvation, through God's kindness. Kindness, it is kind. Titus talks about the kindness of being a quality of God Himself. We should manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Jill just taught the children on the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. There's two more. Faithfulness. What? Goodness. Yes. We should be, you know what? That's not a smorgasbord. That's not a buffet. That's the whole. Those are all the things you should be manifesting in your life. Are you manifesting them? Or when people come to you or they see you out of character, out of your Christian walk, becoming cardinal, grieving the Holy Spirit. K is for kindness. So if I can get the Lord, the Holy Spirit, not me, because I'm not with you all the time. You know who lives inside of you? Yeah. If I can get you, before you speak, think all those things, you will do less harm. So before you speak, think. So we talked about the agnostic, the natural man, spiritual man, cardinal, all those things. Now, let me talk to you. We're going to skip. I don't want to hold you up more than I have to hold you up. Let's go to, I know I was going to say this here. This is something that, you know, worship God in Trinity. And the Trinity being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, saying that, all three of the Trinity have emotion. God so loved the world, that's an emotion, that he gave his Son. Jesus, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then we're talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. They all can feel emotion. They are three in one. Such is the Father, such is the Son, such is the Holy Spirit. Turn to Ephesians 4, chapter 17, verses 17 through 19. This I say to you, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all uncleanliness and to greediness. These are specific examples of ways to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, anytime you walk away from God and choose a fleshly interaction, you grieve the Holy Spirit. You become carnal. And have we all done it? Yes, we have. Yes, yes. Millie has done it. Angelo, Kelly, Frank, all of us. Amen. Step occasionally into that cardinal thing. We should recognize it. We should be able to sense that in the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and want to change that. Yes. Here's when I get worried, when I see someone do that and they have no remorse. Yes. And they have no, they don't feel like they've been gut punched. They don't have that. They're in danger. Are they really saved then? Or are they cardinal? Do they spend more time at home than they do with the Lord? Gaming all day long? Are they on their phone all day long? Are there things in their lives that... One of the things at that meeting that they brought out, Jill, wasn't it? We all have 24 hours in the day. Every hour has 60 minutes. Every minute has 60 seconds. All of us have that. We need to make that time for the Lord, some of it, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. What would happen if in every encounter when we had to speak with someone, we thought, maybe because of something happened and we don't understand what's going on, what would happen if first we thought we had to think? What would happen if we prayed for the Holy Spirit to be present? When you go into a meeting with the teacher, you're upset because baby Johnny did something wrong and you're there to defend baby Johnny. What would happen is if you stopped in that car and prayed, Lord God, help me. Help me to manifest the Spirit, your Holy Spirit in this meeting. Help me to be kind, gentle, long-suffering, forgiving them, Father. What would happen if you did that every time? Would it change things? Yes. I was telling someone the other day, if you've got a glass of milk and it's white milk, I like white milk, it's good, and you just added more white milk, does that change that white milk? Is it still white milk? What happens if you add chocolate syrup? Changes it, doesn't it? What is it now, Kelly? Chocolate milk. So if you're doing the same thing, you're not getting a different outcome. Add something different. Add Jesus to it. Okay? It's a pretty easy example, isn't it? So, believe it or not, this is not a preaching where I want you to come to the altar if you grieve the Holy Spirit, because we all have. This is an inspirational teaching encouraging you to grow up in Christ. It says in one point, doesn't it, Angelo, that we got to go through the fire, and that everything that's not of Him, what happens to it? Burnt up. Some people walk through that fire, and all they are going to have left is salvation. Some people aren't going to make it through the fire. That's the truth. So, better get this now. So, I'm going to ask, she's ready to pray, let me tell you, Kelly and Angelo and this one, come up here. I want you to pray over this congregation as you see fit. Coco, you want to go first, hon? Go ahead. Real loud. Is it on? Use mama's.
Heavenly Father, for this congregation, Father, for everything that is keeping away from you, Father, for that once we walk through this fire, Father, I pray that we come out, Father, to your word, Father. Help us, Father, this summer, Father, help us to get closer to you, God, and help us, Father, when we walk through the fire, we won't get burned, Father, and just remember him.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for every single person that heard your word tonight. And God, I ask that you'd help us to live this sermon out. Lord, help us to think before we speak. God, I ask that you would do just what you did for Jeremiah, Lord, and put your hand on our mouth, Lord, and put your words in there. God, so we speak words of life, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over every single person. Lord, let the words that come out of our mouth heal people instead of hurt them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, let the meditation of our heart and the words of our lips be acceptable to your sight. Help us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Help us not to quench the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you for this wonderful teaching. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Thank you all for coming out to see me. And that was a little southern there, wasn't it, y'all?